fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
All right, welcome to the show, folks. As we depart on our three-hour tour, you are listening to the American Adversaries on this beautiful Sunday. A little rainy out there, though. The rain showers, I guess we can call them so far, are springing up here and there.
Right, with tornadoes in Alabama area and heading into North Florida, so folks,
that weather's on the way.
If
you're out on the roads, just be aware that there will be some wet patches out there, and probably more and more as the evening goes along. That was Aubrey Kahn. Yeah, that distinctive voice.
Yeah, and folks, be careful of the Florida snow, because you know what it's like when it rains? The oil bubbles up to the surface of the roads and makes it very slick.
Very slippery.
Just a little extra stopping time is all you need. Give that room. Give that room out there.
And that was Lucas Paris, and I am Christopher Hart, and we are the American Adversaries tonight. The other guys are in various regions of the world. We'll go over that here in just a minute, but Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
So we are in good hands, and you can still be a part of the show. 407-774-8255 is still the number. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. Right now, though, you're listening to us on 1520 WBZW or our live stream at AM660TheAnswer.com, because right now there's a post-game show going on for the Rays. That's going to go on probably till about the bottom of the hour. If you're listening on 1520, and of course you knew to do that, we will let you know when we're back up on 660. So if you choose to go there, you can make that change at that time. Or you can stay right there on 1520. We'll be live, of course, until 8 o'clock. And then John Butler Book comes in. And is he going to be live tonight, Jeff?
Yes, he will.
Okay. Yeah, John Butler Book will be in the studio live tonight, taking your phone calls at 8 o'clock up the dial on our sister station. Or right now, it'd be down the dial, I guess, since we're on 1520, at 950 WTLN. And with the John Butler Book Show, always interesting listening to John and his guests and the callers, of course, as well. And so we look forward to, I hope you're looking forward to, a full evening of live radio. I got to the studio a little bit later than I usually do today. Last week I told you folks about Lair's bride, his ex-wife, but they were still really good friends, and Lair's family was holding memorial service for her today, and I attended that, and in fact it was still going on when I left. A lot of people wanting to relate their experiences with Belinda, and she was an extraordinary person, and she was always quick with a joke and quick to cheer you up. And as Lair said, when she passed away, she had no enemies, only lots and lots of friends, and there were lots and lots of people there to prove as a testament to that. Once again, our prayers go out to Lair and his family, his daughter Heather, and it's as he said, a day of celebration for her life and her spirit life now, if you will. Now he will be back tomorrow, And we will be doing the live remote broadcast at Cafe Positano. And you are all invited to come out and see us. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And, it's going to start at 5 o'clock. And then it's going to go to whenever. And we anticipate that it's going to go on rain or shine. So please do come out. And hopefully, if the stormy weather comes, it will have passed through by the time we do our little hoedown tomorrow night. And please come on out and join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. One way or the other, we're going to make sure we have a lot of fun. We got some books to give away as raffle prizes. We got some gift cards to give away as raffle prizes. We got some T-shirts to give away as door prizes. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So I just hope you can come out and join us tomorrow night. And don't forget, on November the 13th, we're going to do a little cruise with Merrill Lee and Vacation Travel Planners, and come sail away with me is the theme of the cruise, if you will. The American Adversaries are going to have a group cruise, and November the 13th, like I said, is the date of the cruise. You'll have until the end of August, actually, to sign up for the cruise. And the way to do that is to go to vacationtravelplanners.com and just follow the prompts to come sail away with me, vacationtravelplanners.com. Or you can give Merrill Lee a call at 321-251-4777, 321-251-4777. And don't forget, if you are a member of our American Adversaries Army, you will have a chance, or a number of chances, that is, to go for free. We're going to do a raffle drawing, if you will. And the way we're going to do it is, the longer you've been in the Army, you're going to get a ticket for each month you've been in the Army. So if you're in the Army now, between now and August, you'll have, four, five, six of them. But if you wait until August, you'll have one, but you'll be in the drawing. So somebody, though, is going to go for free.
Only takes one to win, right?
Only takes one to win. That's right. So like I said, go to vacationtravelplanners.com. And plus, we're going to link up. We're linked up with Vacation Travel Planners on our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, which is where you can go to become a member of our Army. Just look for the recruiting office. Like I said, we got a big show lined up for you tonight. Carl's going to be calling in his corner again. We're going to be talking with Rachel Cohen. She's a Bible scholar. She's going to join us in the second hour of the show. We got a Who Said That contest lined up. And Sonny's going to join us, tell us about the CACS. That's the Cauliflower Alley Club convention they had this past week in Las Vegas. And we might even talk a little bit about Hillary, what I'm calling her. I'm calling the Hillary's tour this past week, the cartoon tour. You know, she chose the name for the bus, right? I mean, for the van, right? Scooby, right? Scooby-Doo's a cartoon, right?
Right.
And it turns out, and it was interesting to see all the media types today talking about how, you know, everywhere she went, it was not, you know, meet the common person on the street. Everywhere she went, it was all orchestrated when she actually met with people.
It always has been, even the last election.
Yeah.
You know, she cannot afford to have it unscripted, because there's just so many people that dislike her intensely. She can't take that chance.
And not only that, but in an unscripted situation, she gets flustered. She doesn't know what to say, because everything that she says is so carefully plotted and planned out.
Well, everything she says is a lie.
Well, yeah, or she's trying to create a false image. That's why I call it the cartoon tour. It's all about falsehood.
Yeah,
and phoniness.
Her grandparents were first-generation immigrants, were they?
One out of four. And it turns out today, I heard this guy, Terry McAuliffe. Now, he's a longtime Clinton friend. He's now the governor of Virginia.
Yep.
Terry McAuliffe revealed that her mother was abandoned. Hillary Clinton's mother was abandoned.
Well, if she was anything like Hillary, I'd probably abandon her too.
Well, yeah, but what does
harsh,
it
Colin,
what,
harsh? Yeah,
but what does it say about here? Hillary Clinton is trying to create this real, you know, warm image of her grandparents as these poor old immigrants, and two of them abandoned her mother. I mean, maybe Terry McAuliffe shouldn't have let that little one out of the bag. He was trying to build sympathy for Hillary Clinton. Oh, poor Hillary's mother was abandoned.
Yeah,
by two of the grandparents that Hillary Clinton was just speaking so glowingly about. It just all... See, it's the cartoon tour. Like you say, it's full of false... It's lies. All lies. So we'll be talking about that as the evening goes along. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about. First of all, there was some what I feel to be significant events that happened this past week. So I'm calling it the week of significant events. One of them happened late during the week and really hasn't gotten much media play yet at all. And the liberal media is going to be sort of loath to touch it because it will... Uh-oh, I hear some thunder out there, so the storms are brewing, so folks, be careful out there on the roads. To get back to my point, though, something happened in Congress, between the Congress and the President, toward the end of the week that, let's just say, is going to lead to some hard feelings amongst the Democratic Party. Because President Obama got with the Republicans and basically a handful, not very many, but a few Democrats to get him the fast trade status with this Pacific Rim trade deal that they've been working on for a while. A lot of people don't know anything about this, but the Pacific Rim countries, namely Japan, Australia, what is that down there? New Zealand, and Vietnam, I believe, Korea, have been working on a free trade agreement. Kind of like that North American free trade agreement we had, you know, remember the one right. where Ross Perot said you could hear all the jobs go flushing down?
Right.
And he was essentially right.
Yeah.
If you look at over the period of that agreement, which was done under Clinton, but with Republican cooperation, that it did cause a lot of manufacturing jobs to go out of this country, particular textile and that type of manufacturing.
Right, because why pay $7, $8, $9 an hour plus benefits when you can get it for 25, 30 cents an hour?
Right. So this same sort of arrangement is being negotiated right now between the United States and these Pacific Rim countries to make trade freer between the countries, and what it will do is it will basically what these agreements are all about when you get right down to it fundamentally is they're all about what Barack call it when the plumber asked him redistribution of wealth,
right?
Okay, only this isn't redistribution of wealth inside the U.S. borders. This is redistribution of wealth from the United States to these other parts of the world. Like they really need it right now. I mean, these countries all have modern economies. They have all the niceties of modern life. And basically, we're going to make it easier for them to do business in our market, harder for our companies to compete. And the jobs, once again, will be going to those other countries.
But this is nothing new. We know that our current president has only one thing in mind, and that is to destroy this country.
Well, at this time, he's getting help from the Republicans, not the Democrats. And that's the difference here, and that's why I say it's significant. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. We're just getting rolling. Aubrey Kahn, Lucas Paris, Christopher Hart, and you. We make up the American Adversaries tonight. We'll be right back. On to AM 660, The Answer, on the airwaves, the stick as we call it around here. So if you want to change that dial, you can do it at that time. In the meantime, it is getting stormy out there, so if you're heading out on the roads, just give yourself plenty of time to get where you're going. If you don't need to go out on the roads, probably it's best to not even think about it. In the meantime, listen to us wherever you are at, and we appreciate that. And as I said, I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn and Lucas Paris
hey.
In the studio tonight. And you can be a part of the show, too, at 407-774-8255. Lair will be back tomorrow when we go to the Positano for the live remote. Nostra Dennis is going to be joining us over there, as well as Johnny Guns. Carl Jackson is going to be there, and I hope you're going to be there as well. Come on out and join us. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, as I said. Before we went to the break, we were talking about what I said called the week of significant events, and I started at the end of the week. We'll sort of work in reverse. I started at the end of the week, and that significant event was this free trade status, or fast track, I'm sorry, they call it fast track trade status, allowing the president to work out a free trade agreement with these Pacific Rim countries. And then basically he'll have an up or down vote in Congress. And there's widespread support in Congress for this fast track agreement, partly because one of the reasons, if you will, one of the rationales for this is if we don't get in on it, we're going to be left out. These other countries will set up this agreement amongst themselves, and they'll get all the benefits from it, and we'll be left out of the equation, and that'll be bad for our consumers and our economy. And although there may be a degree of truth to that, the question has to be, well, is that worse than being in the agreement if a lot of jobs and a lot of wealth is going to go out of this country to those other countries? Which has been the characteristic of free trade agreements in the past. They have been huge transfers of wealth from the United States to other parts of the world in the name of globalization of the economy. Now, obviously, a certain amount of this is to be expected. The United States, I kind of like the United States, liking the United States to a locomotive pulling a train. Our economy really is the locomotive that makes everything else work. It makes all the other wheels turn, don't you see? And so we have to put out most of the energy, and everybody else is kind of along for a free ride, more or less. We are the economic center of the world. We are the economic power of the world. So everybody else is kind of following along behind and feeding off of our energy. But this is a more direct transfer of that energy to the other cars. And it's kind of like putting a brake on the locomotive in order to somehow make it better for the other cars in the train. And as Aubrey said, this president's only too happy to do anything to put the brakes on the United States economy and try to, you know, hurt our form of republic in the process. But as I said, the difference here is it's the Republicans who are only too willing to help. And the next shoe to drop along this line is going to be the Import-Export Bank. Look for that to be reapproved, re-extended, because it is also a form of transfer of wealth from the United States to these other countries. Here's how that works. The Import-Export Bank loans money to some fella, say, it's Zhu Xingzhang over there in China. And Zhu Xingzhang has got together a couple of investors, and they got, say, $10 or $20 million, and they want to start an airline. Well, you can't even buy the first airplane for any kind of airline with $10 or $20 million. So they go to the Import-Export Bank, and they say, look, we want to start an airline. We're going to call it Zhang Airlines, and we want to buy Boeing jets to build our airline with. So if you'll loan us the money, we will buy the Boeing jets. Well, that sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? You got all these manufacturing jobs in Seattle and Carolina now that build these Boeing jets. Why not loan them the money to buy the Boeing jets? Well, you're taking essentially both the money and the jets out of the country because you're giving them the money to buy the jets. They buy the jets on credit, right? With the presumption that they will pay off. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But all the wealth is gone and the jets are gone. It's a fantastic deal for all the other countries. And this is why Ross Perot was against it. This is why a whole lot of Democrats, lo and behold, are against it, and a handful of Republicans and Libertarians, because they understand that it is a transfer of wealth. This is where it's going to become problematic for Hillary Clinton if the Republicans know what they're doing. Because now President Obama has created a rift in the Democratic Party. Because most Democrats in the Senate and in the House of Representatives are adamantly against this deal. And he's working with the Republicans for the deal. Now, the deal itself aside, and the political, why Republicans would want to give a man who is incapable of negotiating any deal that is good for the United States, right, Aubrey? Why you would want to give him fast-track trading powers is beyond me. But nonetheless, the Republicans have done it. And maybe they had the politics in mind, but I don't think so. I think that might just be, in their mind, maybe a little bit of gravy. But really, they wanted the fast-track status.
And, you know, another problem is that the Chamber of Commerce is also for all of this stuff.
Right. That's, yeah.
And the Chamber of Commerce, everyone says it's, you know, it's the Republicans own it. No. They don't.
No. No, you'll find all kinds of liberals in the old chamber. But nonetheless, the business interests pushing the Democrat or pushing the Republicans. And here's what the Republicans now need to do. And this gets me to the second significant event that happened this past week. And it happened more toward the beginning of the week, if not over the last weekend. And that was when Rand Paul was able to do what Carl Jackson has been talking about for some time now. We've all been sort of talking about one way or another, but Carl Jackson so explicitly elicited it, and that is that explained it, and that is that he refrained the argument. And it had to do with the argument about abortion. Some liberal reporter, I believe, with CNN was pressing him on his libertarian views, how that, you know, comported with him being pro-life. And in his, of course, response was, well, at some point, you know, libertarians have to be concerned about that life in the womb. You know, that's a human being too,
right? Yes.
And that you have to be concerned that human being's rights are being upheld just as much as the mother's rights are. And then he did it. Then he did the significant event. He said, and by this was, by the way, this reporter was using as a proxy argument. He was arguing for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who basically had, you know, issued this challenge to Rand Paul to explain himself. And then he did it. He said, and why don't you go back and ask her, how is it that they can support a third trimester abortion? How is it that they can support, you know, aborting a child right up to the point where it would be naturally birthed anyway?
Yeah.
And have her explain that. And lo and behold, somebody did go back and ask her that and said, is it true that your position, that the Democratic Party position, is that a woman should be allowed to have an abortion right up virtually to the last minute? And I'm paraphrasing, but that was the question. And she, in a long, you know, sort of soliloquy, snuck in there, yes, we believe that it is up to the woman and the doctor to make all of her health care choices. In other words, yes, she should be allowed to have an abortion at any time she wants it, no matter what, right up to the very last moment. In other words, these buffoons are so idiotic that they think that there is, let me tell you something, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, there is nothing special about going through your love tunnel there that turns a fetus into a human being. I'm sorry, but that's what you're saying is happening. You're saying that somehow the natural birthing process is what makes us into a human being? That is just pure unadulterated ignorance. And pretty much everybody knows that. But the significant thing is that Rand Paul got her to admit it.
Excellence of execution, like I said. The man's an amazing maneuverability in that ring.
And it was the refrain. And it's now sort of put her on the spot. And it's begun the process of moving the whole dialogue into the right direction, which is, these are human beings we are talking about, not just hunks of cells. Mm-hmm. They are human beings, and they deserve to be treated as such. And it was an extraordinary moment, I think. Aubrey, I know you're big in this cause. Were you aware of this? Were you impressed?
I have to confess, I have not been listening to the news lately.
Because you've been doing your taxes.
I've been doing my taxes. I've been working 80 hours to 100 hours a week. I'm just tired.
Well, you need to sleep.
I'm glad you're in here tonight. We'll try to keep you awake anyway. But nonetheless, it was a significant moment. And it showed that it can be done and how to do it. And so now, and by the way, Rubio did similar. He didn't do quite as well as Rand Paul. And I don't know about Ted Cruz. But nonetheless, this was a clear example of simply how to turn the argument back around and put the heat on the people where the heat belongs to be, which is on fools like Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I agree. It's a good thing.
All right. When we come back, we got more to talk about. And, of course, you can join us, too, at 407-774-8255. And Carl's Corner is going to be in the next half hour of the show, so please don't go away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to keep your opponents in a political headlock, you better keep reading and writing and listening to AM 660's The Answer. And here we come back to Christopher Hart.
That's Aubrey Kahn. And, of course, Aubrey is a great sponsor of our show. His business is Firm Foundation Home Inspections. He was out. You were expecting a home today after church, weren't you?
I sure was.
Yep. And if you are buying or selling a home or have rental properties or buying or selling rental properties, Aubrey's your guy. He will do a thorough inspection for you. He's not one of these guys who are just right in and right out. He takes his time. He really checks the place out up and down, does like a what I used to call a white glove inspection. And if you want to get a hold of Aubrey, it's real easy. Go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com, OrlandosHomeInspector.com. You can call him on his cell phone at 321-624-0254. And yeah, that's the same phone number that I have for Aubrey Kahn. So he will answer your phone, I guarantee you, 321-624-0254. And even if you're not in the market for a home, if you got like a new roof or anything like that, any repairs, they may be enough to get you a wind mitigation discount on your homeowner's insurance. And it's like 10 or 20% is the average savings you get, isn't
it? Yes, 10 to 20% is the average savings.
And people can't do this on their own. They have to have
It's got to be done by a licensed,
certified
wind mitigation inspector, yes.
Which you are.
Amongst other things, yes.
That's Aubrey. Give him a call, please, at 321-624-0254. Johnny Guns has joined us in the studio. Johnny!
Woohoo! I am here!
You are here. You are hot, ready to go with some WTF news and other things.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have some fun tonight.
We're going to have some fun.
And I just beat the rain in here.
Yeah. He just came off the road. And Lucas Paris has us up on the head cam, so you'll be able to see all us fine gents here tonight.
Giveaway, people.
There you go. Just go to American Adversaries on Facebook, where we're linked up, or you can go to Ustream.tv and dial in the American Adversaries channel. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. Just any moment now, we should be back up on the stick. Jeff Sinis is going to let us know if you're listening on 1520. We'll let you know in case you want to go back down the dial to perhaps you can get a better signal down there. Okay, we are now back up on the stick. If you folks have been listening to the Tampa Bay Rays post-game show, we'll our condolences on their defeat today to the Yanks. Matter of fact, got swept by the Yanks. I guess they're glad to see the Yanks go out of town, but hopefully you will stick around and listen to us. So we are the American Adversaries. We are live from 5 to 8 every Sunday evening right here on AM 660 The Answer. And we also have a drive time show Monday through Friday live at 5. I am Christopher Hart along with Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections, a great sponsor of ours. Johnny Guns, our WTF news hound, is also in the studio.
Woo-hoo.
We're up on the head cam with Lucas Paris. Go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and you'll be able to see us. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the show. If you missed the first part of the show because you couldn't get us on 1520 or you forgot, don't forget, folks, if you tune in to hear us on Sunday nights and the Rays are playing or post-game or whatever, you can find us up the dial at 1520 WBZW or always at am660theanswer.com. First part of the show, we talked about what I'm calling there was a week of significant events in and around Washington, D.C. The first one that I talked about was the last one that happened during the week, and that was President Obama working with Republicans to get fast-track trade authority to work through a free trade agreement with the Pacific Rim countries, which, like Perot used to say, well, you'll hear all those jobs getting flushed down to Mexico or whatever he used to say. Now we'll see them all get flushed over to the other side of the Pacific. And as I said earlier in the show, these free trade agreements are transfers of wealth. They're redistribution of wealth, like Barack Obama was talking about. Only this is redistribution of wealth from the United States to other countries in the world as part of the globalization process. Some of that is natural. Some of it is forced. This helps the forcing part go forward. Also talked about how Rand Paul, one other significant event, Rand Paul was able to reframe the argument on abortion, at least with Debbie Big Blabbermouth Schultz, when she challenged him to explain himself as a libertarian and yet being also pro-life. And he said, well, you know, that's life inside the womb, duh, you idiot. And then challenged the reporters to ask her, you know, does she believe in, third trimester abortion, late term abortion? And she did. She said it should be left up between the woman and her doctor. So, yeah, a woman should be allowed to have an abortion right up to the last minute. You know, and I pointed out that there's nothing special going from, you know, the womb into the world. Nothing special about going through that canal there that turns a lump of cells into a human being. I'm sorry. That's not when it occurs.
Right.
Ain't nothing special about that. So essentially that's what she's saying, though. She's saying that is not a human being until the mother decides that it is. Well, I'm sorry, but the mother is a very key part of the process, but mama ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Takes two to make a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was another significant event that I'm going to talk about at the top of the next hour had to do with the deal with Iran. The reason I'm using the word significant is last Sunday, a woman by the name of Wendy, and I'm sorry I rushed out today without my notes from last week, but Wendy something is the State Department or the White House liaison. She's the main one talking for us with the Iranians. Okay, you've seen her in some of the pictures. She looks like kind of like Christine Lagarde, who is the head of one of International Monetary Fund, I think. Anyway, she's a woman. She has short hair, wears glasses. Her hair is, I think, white. And she smiles a lot. And, you know, it's just me, and this probably is going to sound sexist to some of you out there, but I would not have a woman negotiating with a society that's based on the idea of macho, the macho man. In other words, they immediately see that as a sign of weakness in us. This is not me. This is how they are talking, the Iranians. They got a woman negotiating with us. They don't even have a real man. That's how they look at us. You see? Well, nonetheless, she revealed last week that, and talking about the sanctions being lifted after a deal is done, there will be the monitoring, right? And, oh, this monitoring is going to be like never before. Oh, yeah, we'll be able to go anywhere. Oh, nothing will happen without us knowing about it. And if there is a, and I quote now, significant violation, then we can always reinstate the sanctions. Now, let's get away from the argument about whether we could actually even reinstate the sanctions because it was so very difficult to get them to begin with. It will be near impossible to reinstitute them.
And Russia will never allow it to happen.
But let's back up to her if there is a significant violation. In other words, they're already allowing that the Iranians are going to be violating the deal and that we will allow them to get away with some level of violations until, but only until, they become significant. And then we will do something about, well, what in the hell does significant mean to you, Wendy? And what do you suppose it is going to mean to the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese, who are now already striking up huge deals?
Well, I think, you know, significant, you've got to have a look at how the Republicans are treating Obama.
All right.
When Obama makes a significant blunder, then we might impeach him.
Yeah.
We haven't had a significant one yet, have we?
Yeah. When the Titanic hits an iceberg, then we'll figure out how to put more lifeboats on the ship.
There you go.
When it has a significant problem, when we have a significant... Yeah. So we'll be discussing that more at the top of the hour. And like I said earlier, folks, if you didn't catch it, Rachel Cohen, the Bible scholar, is going to join us in the next hour, too.
Am I wrong, but wasn't there something about Korea sending missiles and rocketry across to Iran this last week or two?
Well, we're going to talk about that more in the second hour, but basically, no, it was Russia. The good news is, no, it wasn't North Korea. They've already sent them a technology. No, this was Russia, and they did it on the open market where everybody could see it. This wasn't smuggled.
Yeah, but Russia's sending defense missiles.
They're also sending other missile technology and teaming with the Chinese to get this, help Iran build more nuclear power plants.
Oh, yippee.
Yippee-yay! All right.
No significant.
Yeah. And there was a significant development in the IRS case, if you want to call it that, against the Lois Lerner. I should say the investigation against the IRS and Lois Lerner. Of course, Lois Lerner is the one who went up there and stonewalled Congress. But before she stonewalled Congress, she told everybody how she was innocent. Okay, and Congress saw that as basically, and then she, as I said, she stonewalled by invoking her Fifth Amendment right not to testify against herself, but she had already opened the door. So Congress sent over to the Justice Department a letter to get them to have a grand jury look at this to see if she could be charged with impeachment contempt, with contempt, which is a criminal charge. Now, here's what happened this week. The U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, a fellow by the name of, I'll get it right here, Machen, Ron Machen. He's the attorney, as I said, for the District of Columbia, and he's one of Eric Holder's right-hand men. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's at the District of Columbia. I believe they're all in the same office building there. He has decided this week that he would not file charges, a contempt citation, or even a contempt citation against Ms. Lerner.
I wonder why.
He determined that what she said was too generalized to be considered violating, you know, the clearly described by courts as going too far. She opened the door. In other words, let me just read from a Supreme Court decision. That, matter of fact, no, this was a D.C. Circuit Court decision in 1969. It said, once a witness has voluntarily spoken out, we do not see how his protected interest is jeopardized by testifying in the subsequent proceeding. In other words, since she already opened her big mouth and made specific claims against specific charges, and that is key here. It wasn't just, I'm innocent of all charges. It was, no, I'm innocent of this particular thing, and at this particular thing, I didn't do this either. Once she did that, she basically said, now you can go ahead and ask me about this. And so that when she refused to answer, that was contempt. Furthermore, it's not up to Mr. Machen. It's not up to Ron Machen, spelled M-A-C-H-E-N, to decide. I'm sorry, Jeff, give me one more minute. I can't finish up in that time. It's not up for him to decide whether or not he should file charges. Once it is turned over to him, it is his obligation to turn it over to a federal grand jury and allow the grand jury to make the decision. Now, certainly, it could be argued that, well, if he goes in there as a prosecutor, he's not going to present a case that they're going to indict on. Very true that most prosecutors, as they say, can get a ham sandwich indicted. But it's much easier at the circuit court, the county, and the state level to do that than it is with a federal grand jury. The rules are different. And so with a federal grand jury, it would have been more likely that there would have been an indictment for her to have to answer to this charge because of the previous court rulings that would have held that that to be the case. So she's off the hook. So I guess she's happy as a lark.
Wasn't significant enough of an event, right?
I guess it was not. But we got a significant event waiting on line one. That's Carl Jackson. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, our Sunday evening 3-hour tour. Christopher Hart, Aubrey Kahn, Johnny Guns in the studio. We're up on the head cam. Thanks to Lucas Paris, who's in the studio as well.
Hey, hey.
Carl Jackson's on the line. One last little quick side note to that last story. That was Ron Matchin's last day on the job when he let Lois Lerner off the hook. So nobody can call him in front of Congress, I guess, at least with his job at stake, to have to testify as to why he made such a bizarre opinion and decision. Okay, it's time now for Carl's Corner. He's on the line, so let's go right now to Carl Jackson.
All right, how's it going, guys?
Not too bad, Carl. How about you? Another great show yesterday, by the way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Well, as we kind of started on this path, or at least I did last week, and what's happening, Chris and guys, is that the states are starting to get their groove back, if you will. Last week, the subject was Maine with Governor LePage, who was doing an excellent job with the SNAP benefits and getting people back to work and cutting down some of those SNAP benefits after 90 days if you're an able-bodied person. This week, Missouri is kind of jumping on board, although they're not going as far, as Maine. The Daily Signal has written an article entitled, "Missouri Welfare Reform Bill Would Ban Buying Lobster Steak with Food Stamps." So here's the story. A bill introduced in the Missouri legislature would limit the types of food that recipients of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP, benefits would be able to purchase. The bill, known as House Bill 813, which was introduced by Republican State Representative Rick Bratton, would prohibit a recipient of SNAP benefits to use the funds for cookies, chips, energy drinks, rather, soft drinks, seafood, or steak. The bill would also mandate that work requirement waivers for SNAP expire. The representative was quoted as saying, or telling the Daily Signal, that he introduced the bill in an effort to prevent SNAP benefits from being used to purchase foods such as crab legs, lobster, and filet mignon. His intention, he said, was to make sure that those in need have access to healthy food in a fiscally responsible way. Bratton said that the United States is the most obese nation on the planet, and his bill encourages a return to healthy basics, just like the First Lady's Healthy School Lunch Initiative, for which she was heralded. Now, critics have said that the legislation is not specific enough, or the language in it is not specific enough, and it could prohibit those in need from purchasing simpler foods, foods such as canned tuna or ground beef. Some even argue that restricting which types of foods can be purchased with SNAP benefits stigmatizes those who need assistance, to which I say hooray, and I'll speak to that later. There's a quote, this is from Bratton. He's quoted as saying, "This is anything but an attack on the poor. It's good government to ensure that those in need have good nutritional assistance without raking the taxpayer over the coals. This isn't me controlling what you can do with your own money. This happens to be the taxpayer's money," which I think is a great point. Another point to be made is that work requirements, and in fact the Daily Signal did make this point, is that work requirements are an efficient way to make sure that assistance is going to the most in need, or to those most in need. So here's the deal. States, as I said earlier, are getting their groove back. We saw this last week with Maine's Governor LePage and all of the restrictions that he's beginning to place on the SNAP program. And as a result, he's seen, I think it was nearly 10,000 people in just 90 days get off of the SNAP benefits program because they were able-bodied people that could go out and work. So they have the option, if you recall, under his new plan, to either go out and get a part-time job, they could enroll in a vocational program, or they could volunteer 24 hours per month if they needed to stay on it for more, the SNAP program, for more than 90 days. So now we just see Missouri, obviously not as strong, but at least they're drawing some attention to this, and they're fighting hard to bring more attention to this and make it a more amiable, if you will, government program. So I think this is a good thing. I mean, obviously, not every state is going to frame it as as good as the others, and I think Governor LePage of Maine has done the best job of doing that so far. But it's nice to know this is happening. Now, if we going back to the story, one of the things said was that work requirement waivers for SNAP would expire. Now, I argue this is a good thing. You know, the Lord tells us if you don't work, you don't eat. Liberals tell us you don't have to work to eat, and that's just wrong. It's simply stealing other people's money while you're being lazy, and that's just not the right thing to do in any way, shape, or form. Another thing that the critics said was that SNAP benefits stigmatizes those who need assistance. I certainly hope so. I wish that any SNAP or welfare card would be bright yellow or a bright orange or something that stood out and something that looked very cheap, so that it was very inevitable that people were taking it outside out of their wallets and that people were ashamed of it. I remember growing up as a kid, there were a couple of times where I knew my parents had to get on welfare. When they did so, they explained it to us that we were on rough times, and as soon as we could, they would sit us down in the room and they would tell us we're getting off of this program because we don't need it anymore. And so for us, it was an issue of shame. We knew this as kids growing up. When our parents had it rough, there was, like I said, there were a couple of times, but there was always a level of shame. We certainly didn't want to be stigmatized. We didn't want to be on welfare. But when it was needed, my parents definitely, got it. And I don't think there's any shame in that when there's genuine need. But I think that people that just go around that can work and choose not to work, I think they should be stigmatized. I think there should be a level of shame in it. And it's not because I want to shame the person per se, but what I want to shame is laziness. And you want to help those that really do need the help. There's a certain amount of people in our population that will always genuinely need help. And that's where I have no problem with taxpayer money going. But it should just go to those people. People shouldn't be able to live off the dole for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So I'm thankful for that. The last thing I would say is taxpayers should have a say in the way the money is spent. I believe that the gentleman, the Representative Bratton, said, hey, listen, this isn't me controlling what you can do with your own money. This happens to be the taxpayers' money. And I think we need to constantly frame it in that way. I mean, people literally don't get it. If you recall, even Obama welfare recipients, when he first got in office, the lady was talking about how she got her welfare phone. They would interview ladies on the streets and different people on the streets that voted for Obama.
Yeah.
And they would say that he was giving them benefits, but they had no clue where it came from. This basic economics, basic rules of taxation, even if you will, people simply don't understand when it comes to the lower socioeconomic class, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So these are things that they need to understand. And,
yeah.
And I, for one, salute Missouri and I salute Maine for trying to make a stance or trying to take a stance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know the surefire way to get people off this SNAP program and food stamps. You want to know what it is?
Yes, I do.
Put Michelle Obama in charge of it and have her set the nutritional standards. They won't be able to stand the crap they're eating, and they'll throw them things away. And they'll say, to hell with this. I'm going to go out and work and eat what I want to eat. But to your point, you're talking about the incentives. All the incentives are the wrong way. The incentives need to go the other way. And that's what she would provide. She would provide that incentive to go the other way.
I make light of it, but
it's the whole point is to get people incentivized to do the right thing. Isn't that what it comes down to?
I was thinking along the same lines. I was going to say, let all those that are on benefits or that need food go and have their meals served to them out of the school cafeterias. Because they already have the Michelle Obama lunch program installed.
It's already set up.
And those are kitchens that are set up. And you know what? It's like soup kitchens in the old days. It's more shameful than having a credit card.
Yeah.
And that would be another incentive to get people off of welfare.
Carl, great work.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Let me just say real quickly, Chris, you were absolutely right about Rand Paul being able to reframe. A couple of issues that didn't get posted or get as much attention this week was the fact that Rubio did the same thing with same-sex marriage.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of Salem.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. We are getting in our comfy positions for hour number two. Hope you are too. Lucas is relaxing. Aubrey Kahn's got his feet up. Chris is yawning over there and doing his stretches. And meanwhile, I'm trying to recover from yoga.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my gosh. I am going to be dead tomorrow. What?
You serious?
Yes. There was a yoga event in Altamont Springs. I went and I did aero yoga. And
well, that's interesting because I got a yoga story.
Do you?
Yeah.
For later? Or are we going to go? All right.
Later on.
Oh, and that's
what we're walk into it now. I mean,
that's what we in the biz call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. So you definitely want to stick around for that.
Yeah. All right. That was Johnny Guns. Aubrey Kahn is in the studio. Lucas Paris.
Hey.
You could be a part of the show, too. 407-774-8255. Of course, during this part of the show, we'll be playing our Who Said That contest. But, Aubrey is so gracious to come in here tonight. He's working like an army mule and still finds time to be on our show.
Hey, why not? This is the best place to be on a Sunday night.
I appreciate that, Aubrey. By the way, Carl was going out there. He was absolutely right. Carl, by the way, we are back up on AM 660, The Answer. Anybody who would like, who's been listening on 1520, thank you, Carl. Appreciate that. You can go down now to AM 660, The Answer, but wait till the next commercial break. Do it now so you'll hear our sponsor commercials.
Yeah, there you go.
But Carl was saying as we were going out, we just, ran out of time there, but he was saying Marco Rubio was also able to reframe the argument this past week when it came to same-sex marriage. So we are seeing some real, it's kind of like, let's use the analogy with springtime. I'm seeing a lot of nice buds on the Republican tree, so to speak.
But it's all the young guys that are doing this.
I know it.
All right. It's the.
But that's what it really encourages me, though.
It's the rhinos that are still sticking to the party line and helping the Democrats along.
Indeed, they are. But that's why I say it's springtime. That's why I say these things are significant, is because these new guys. And I like what Carl said yesterday. If you were just to shut off right now, say today's the deadline, if you weren't in the race today, you're not going to get in, I'd really be happy with the three candidates we have right now. But they are the future, not only of the Republican Party, but I believe of the nation.
Of the nation, yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's keep Jeb out.
Exactly. And by the way, have you seen, notice how much weight Jeb has lost? He has really lost a lot of weight getting ready for this
He's getting
run-up.
Fighting fit. That's why. He's
is
getting his ring body going.
That's right.
Is that what it is? Speaking of ring bodies.
I think he's putting on his running shoes for when he gets beat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of ring bodies, I saw a picture on the cover of a magazine yesterday of Bill Clinton. It looked for all the world like his head on somebody else's body. You know, it was all tanned, and he was in a short sleeve shirt, and his arms, they were thin, but they looked healthy.
Chris, that's the wonder of Photoshop.
Somebody did him a favor, I'll tell you that. All right. The other significant thing that happened this past week, like I said, had to do with the Iran, the deal, so-called, with Iran, the framework, wherever it is right now. Because, first of all, as I said, the week started out with our head negotiator saying that, as you know, if there are quote-unquote significant infractions, then we will be able to snap back the sanctions, you know, once all this deal goes into business. And, of course, what first occurred to me was, what do you mean by significant? Right? Setting off a bomb in Jerusalem, would you consider that to be significant? And then we'll just sort of work our way back from there.
That would be workplace violence.
Yeah, that would not amount to significant in terms of the Iranian deal.
You know, how are they going to hear about anything significant? Because, let's face it, the press is going to cover up for Obama. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, when does Obama ever hear about anything significant? It's when he hears it on the news.
On the news.
But so it'll never happen.
You know, well, even then, you know, and this gets me to my next point. Barack Obama has now essentially given in to the Iranian argument when it comes to sanctions. The phase out is out.
Yeah, it's immediate lifting.
We started the week where the president was saying, no, I will not settle for anything less than a phase out of the sanctions, to at the end of the week he was saying, when we lift the sanction is really inconsequential. What's more important is going to be our monitoring program. As long as we have the right monitoring program in place, it doesn't matter when we lift the sanctions. So, yeah, we can lift them all beginning to start, you know, because we can always snap them back.
Well, why don't we just keep them in place until they prove that they are trustworthy?
Oh, no, because as soon as they prove they're not trustworthy, we'll just snap them back. Anybody that thinks anything in politics, whether it be domestic, foreign, national, local, nothing happens in a snap.
The last thing that snapped back in the Democrat Party was the rubber band with Harry Reid's exercise.
Wow.
Look what happened there. Democrats got a black eye there as well, right?
That was good. Yeah, I thought you were going to say something about that blue dress snapping.
No. Clinton's left in turn.
Yeah.
Snap out of it.
So are we just going to hire another Hans Blick and just send this one to Iran every other week? I mean,
that's a good point, because let's review, for instance, what happened with Korea, because we were told the same. We were sold the same bill of goods with Korea. And by the way,
that was Clinton.
Well, it was Clinton.
That was a Democrat.
Clinton and then Bush. Mm-hmm. And then Bush.
Well, it was a continuation.
It was continuation policy, which was to put all the faith in these inspectors. And guess what? The inspectors saw violations happening, but the inspectors can't do anything about the violations. All they do is see them and document them. It is then up to the other countries to do something about them. And nobody was willing to do anything about them in the case of Korea. And I fear that the same thing will happen with Iran, because once you lift these sanctions, once everybody begins doing business with Iran again, and I'm talking about Russia and China, but not just them. I'm talking about Germany. I'm talking about France. There's corporations all across the United States that are just salivating to do business with Iran. There will be no snapback. So even if we have the most sophisticated monitoring system in the world in place, they will not be able to do anything about whatever it is that they see. And if there's no motivation on the part of the Security Council in the UN, there will be nothing that we can do about it short of Israel or us taking matters into our own hands, and we're right back to square one.
Here's another thing. Korea at least set their nuke off in their own backyard. Or do you think Iran's going to put theirs when they get theirs?
Well, they haven't actually set one off yet. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you're talking about testing. Mm-hmm. They haven't used one yet either. Korea's a bit of a unique situation because they're more or less under the thumb of China. And
they know
they can get away with a certain amount, but I believe that they're reluctant to go too far lest China take away what China gives them. Exactly. You do not have that with Iran.
Mm-mm.
They don't answer to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And once people enter into trade agreements with them, they'll have the upper hand. And to get back to your point in the first part of the show, this is just another effort in the Obama quill of arrows to shoot holes in the United States.
Yep.
Making history.
To weaken us while he empowers dictatorial regimes literally all around the world.
And every one of those dictatorial regimes has one common goal. And that is the destruction of the United States of America.
And Israel. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. And lo and behold, even though none of them would tell you this, where would they be without the United States? It's talk about biting the hand that feeds you. We get nothing but we get our hand gnawed off right on up to the shoulder, and nothing but a little nub up there.
Right.
And now the other, of course, significant thing that the press is focused on is that Congress now has a say. Congress has a say. There was a bipartisan deal, and they forced Barack Obama to sign it because they had enough votes to override a veto. Well, let's look at that deal for a moment.
It wasn't a good deal at
no,
all.
No, it was not. Because essentially, it gave Barack Obama the power to veto their disapproval of the bill. Of the deal, I should say. Here's how it's going to work. The Congress has now agreed with the establishment Republican Guard helping to lead the way, once again, to help this president. They think that they're not, they think that they're holding him back. They would have been better off doing nothing. Because it would have taken an act of Congress to lift the sanctions. Obama can make a deal all day long, but as it stands right now, until he signs this new bill, it takes an act of Congress to lift the sanctions. So they have all the authority they need. They won't vote up or down on the bill, but what they can do is they can keep the sanctions in place. Europe can lift their sanctions, but to hell with them. We can keep our sanctions in place. What this has done is that now there will be an up or down deal. Or a vote on the deal. But it will be like a vote on any piece of legislation. Let's assume that the Congress doesn't like the deal and they vote it down. That will be a piece of legislation that the president will now have to actually sign, which means he can veto their disapproval, which means they would be having to produce a veto-proof majority to override his veto, where now the stakes are higher for Democrats to stick with him than they are right now. So he basically is still in the driver's seat, and the Republicans actually have less of a hand to play now than they did before.
They are notorious for shooting themselves in the foot.
It amounts to this. You're absolutely right. Now they're going to have to come up with 67 votes to get what they want, when before they didn't have to do a damn thing.
Right. But one thing we have to keep in mind, though, is Obama has never given a damn about Congress. He has always overridden them, and they have never had the guts to stand up and oppose it.
Yeah, well, that's true. But the difference here is the sanctions would apply mainly to financial institutions and corporations and people with money who want to go over there and make money. And they may be thinking, well, yeah, Obama's, but it's against the law. And some, you know, next generation administration could take us to court for violating these sanctions, because it is still the law of the land. Even if the dictatorial president says it's okay, we can't. You see, it complicates things. Good point, but it would be far more complicated than that. We'll be right back.
So yes, much confidence.
She would.
As I say, that might not be such a bad thing after all.
I'd tap out.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That was Johnny Guns. I am Christopher Hart. Aubrey Kahn's in the studio with us. Lucas Paris has us up on the head cam.
Hey, hey.
And you can be a part of the show, too, at 407-774-8255. Our next guest... And her guest, we have on the line, Rachel Cohen, has been on our show before. She's going to be on our show again. She is going to be speaking Tuesday at the Eastmont Civic Center for the Greater Orlando Tea Party meeting. And, of course, it's free to you, free to come. It's the doors open at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7. And Rachel is a compelling speaker and just a really great person to talk to. So get on out there. That's Tuesday at the Eastmont Civic Center. If you can come, it's on just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436, right there where the ball fields are. So just head south on Ronald Reagan from 436, about half a mile. You'll see the ball fields right there on the right, and the Civic Center is right behind the ball field. There's usually plenty of parking, but get on out there and get there early if you can to see Rachel. So let's go now to Rachel Cohen. Rachel, thank you for being a part of our show tonight.
Glad to be here.
Well, first of all, tell us, you don't have to go in depth, but just what are you going to be talking about on Tuesday night?
I will will be bringing my usual topic of explaining why the biblical and political worlds are melding together. And we're watching it every day as it becomes clearer and clearer that we are, in the history of history, watching things unfold. It doesn't even take somebody that's into biblical scholarship to see the Middle East is on fire. And we've got somebody in this administration that's telling us everything is wunderbar.
Of course, everybody wonders if this is just because he's blundering around, doesn't know what he's doing, or if he's up to something nefarious. What's your opinion?
Well, certainly he knows what he's doing because it's obvious that he's already backed Iran, and we know why. We've gone over this so many times. I know your listeners and my followers all know that it has to do with Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah.
And once we understand that this is part of the reason that this Iranian deal has to go through under his watch, no matter what Israel says, in Israel, there's no good deal. If you can't get the good deal, don't have any deal at all. We've heard this so many times, but that's not stopping this train that's on steroids that's heading towards a disaster. But listen, you guys had so many great topics. I'm like doing somersaults with words here. You're talking about SNAP benefits. We're talking about Iran deals. We're talking about same-sex marriage. We're talking about Debbie was a man. So, I mean, I can hit every topic, and I can hit it out of the park because all of these are pointing to everything that's wrong with what's happening today.
Well, let's start with Debbie Schultz. She's the spokesperson for the Democratic Party. She's presided over a couple of significant defeats. At least the last election anyway, I should say. But she kind of got the tables turned on her by Rand Paul. Are you encouraged by when you see that sort of thing happening?
I am encouraged, but I don't even understand what's a man anyway. She's talking to... Her audience cannot possibly think that this is somebody that's worth following. Now, when Rand Paul does knock her back a peg or two, certainly it uplifts us hoping that people have neurotransmitters that are firing. But still, she says things. This, you take it, Chris. Tell me what she said about the abortion. Go ahead.
In her answer, it was a long soliloquy. It amounted to a woman and her doctor are the ones who should decide, and everybody else has no say in the matter, right up to the point of when the child is birthed. And
you know, it's a very serious subject. I'm not trying to make light out of anything. You know, I do have a comic bone in my body because it's just the way I am. I try to at least pepper things with some kind of humor.
Well, sure.
But here is somebody that's saying, like so many other liberals, that a woman, no man has the right to tell a woman what to do with her body and especially with her pregnant body. But let's just say that woman gives birth. Then that woman has every right to tell that man what to do with his wallet. And that's a fact.
Well, you got that right. Of course, Rand Paul's point was that he was making was, look, these are human beings that we're talking about here. And if he wanted to push the refrain of the argument a little bit further, he should have went ahead and said, and look, you know, the Democrats sell themselves to the world as being the compassionate ones, the compassion party. Where's their compassion for these infants in the womb? Now we can have a debate over when the fetus becomes an infant, but it is clear that it happens within the womb, not in some transitory procedure getting the infant out of the womb.
And also we look at him, look, he's not an optometrist, he's an ophthalmologist.
Right.
They have to, a lot of people don't understand. They just think the eye is one of the most intricate organs in our entire body. They have to go not only to medical school, but to advanced medicine. So, I mean, you're not talking about somebody that took anatomy 101. This is somebody that understands more than what a tissue is.
Correct.
So, I'm sure she stumbled on that, but, you know, her followers are still, I'm not just talking about people that are you know, just voting for her. People that listen to her, no matter what she says, it's like the rest of the rigmarole. They just don't pay attention to the words. And like I've said before, lullabies. These people lullaby. And if you listen to Humpty Dumpty, if you listen to Jack and Jill, if you listen to Three Blind Mice, the words are all awful, but people don't even listen to the words. They just lull themselves to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why we say around here politics is like professional wrestling. You know, you get your favorite, and it doesn't matter what they do or what they say, they're still your favorite. It takes an extraordinary change of character for them to become not your favorite anymore, and even then, more often than not, the fans stay with their favorite, whether they're a good guy or a bad guy.
And you are so right. I was just talking about this yesterday, that it's almost like you're born and bred into following an ideology, and it's not even that you even pay attention to the ideology that you're actually voting for.
Yeah.
You just kind of do almost a lockstep into whatever you've been raised to believe. And, you know, until you open your eyes, you're not going to see anything different.
Yeah, and so many people don't want to open their eyes. That's the scary part.
A lot of the country is like that. My grandfather voted Democrat. My father voted Democrat. So I'm a Democrat.
That's
right. It's
that's
like,
where
it's
a lot of people
like an eye color. It just gets handed down. I know.
Exactly.
And that is so prevalent in the black community and to a great extent in the Hispanic community, is that, you know, if you're in that community, you're a Democrat or you're ostracized. That's just a given.
And a lot in the lower socioeconomic areas. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Well, they feel the minorities on the, you know, the macrocosm. You know, there's microcosms that don't feel like that, where we have people like Alan West and Herman Cain and, you know, people that we absolutely, that are in the black community, that say, "Are you better look to see who these places that have been run by Democrats have been run, all right, run right into the ground."
Yeah.
I mean, all the places that are run Democratic look like they're third world countries.
Yep.
In the United States.
I know it. And people are leaving those states and going to states where Republicans run them because it's a better place to live.
I like that idea about the SNAP card or the food card, where it would actually be something that was bright, that shows an alert that somebody in line in front of you is actually using something that's been given. So if you do notice that somebody is buying a lobster,
yeah,
that you look at them with that card, and at least maybe they have some iota of guilt.
Yeah.
But some, you know, sometimes they don't, and you'll never hear.
Yeah.
I don't care. You guys were mentioning this obese country. Everybody's got a slow thyroid. Nobody admits they have a fast fork. Ever. I mean, seriously, my thyroid's slow with a bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Hey, so,
Rachel, we're coming up on a hard break here in 2 minutes. Richard is called from Altamont Springs. Richard, I'm going to have to ask you to stay on the line, but we'll take your phone call when we come back from the break. But first, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about your guest that you have holding with us.
Cynthia Grace is my historian, and let me tell you, she melds in not only the lost tribes, but also the economic and just the demographics of this country and the world, and how it's playing out on the news and in our daily lives.
Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you being on with us. Are you going to be in Orlando Tuesday night with Rachel?
I will. I'm excited.
Okay. By the way, folks, once again, they'll be at the Eastmont Civic Center just off Ronald Reagan Drive in Altamont Springs at 6:30 Tuesday evening, and the presentation is free. Just all you have to do is show up over there. It's being put on by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Real quickly, Cynthia, how significant is it that Barack Obama is siding with Iran against Israel, so to speak?
It is so significant. It is like the elephant in the room. And every conversation that I hear, everybody says, why? Why is he doing this? He can't know what he's doing. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Well, my interest is taking it all the way back to the brotherhoods that go back to Jacob and Esau. And that was the beginning of, part of it after Adam and Eve in the garden. But what formed there was a brotherhood against brotherhood, and that was Jacob's brotherhood, and it was Esau's. And they are fighting it, have been fighting it all through history, and continue to fight it today. And that's what's happening.
And that's what we're right in the middle of right now, I tell you.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we're right in the middle of going to a break. Rachel and Cynthia, please stay with us. We've got a couple of callers on the line. You folks, please stay with us. We'll take those calls when we come back. And if you would like to call in, the number is 407-774-8255. We're the American Adversaries here till 8. And this Sunday evening is flying by. The weather seems to have calmed down a little bit out there, but still be careful if you're heading out on the roads, and take us with you wherever you're going, please. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live Sunday nights 5 to 8, and of course, Monday through Friday, we're live also at 5. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, John Butler Book joins you up the dial, or you can join him at 950 WTLN. He does a great show live 8 to 9, and then, of course, Armed American Radio is live right here on AM 660 The Answer from 8 to 11. So only on AM 660 The Answer will you find such great live radio on a Sunday evening with such great guests as we have on the line right now. That would be Rachel Cohen, Bible scholar, and Cynthia Grace, her historian. And we also have a couple of callers on the line. If you would like to call us, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, here shortly we'll do our Who Said That contest. I want to go to Richard, because he's been holding quite a while. Richard, thank you for calling. And you wanted to talk about the abortion issue, I see.
Yeah, you guys were speaking a little while ago about abortion. You're bringing up one of the items that happens a lot in that argument back and forth about when life begins and
correct
when somebody's a human. But what I wanted to bring up, and a lot of people don't realize this or don't know this, is that the whole Roe versus Wade decision that gave us this American Holocaust over the last 35, 40 years, hinged not upon when life began. That case, how it came down and was decided based upon, under the Constitution, that every citizen is guaranteed a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And so what it hinged down upon, the Supreme Court was trying to decide at what point does a person become a person and therefore a natural-born citizen and covered under the provisions of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's one of those things that I think the whole debate, the dichotomy back and forth, pro-life and such, that it gets segued in this dichotomy talking about when life begins and doesn't begin. And the focus of the argument needs to be pulled back to the point of the citizenship, and at what point does somebody become a person, and whether or not you have to actually be born to be covered under the laws of the United States or not.
Well, Richard, let me ask you a question. You've obviously done a great deal of research and paying a lot of attention to this issue. At what point do you think a person should get those rights, when personhood actually occurs, if you will?
Now, personally, I don't think it's a question of personhood per se. I believe, from a Judeo-Christian point of view, that life begins at conception, because at that point, you have a full set of human chromosomes. So that little one-celled item, before it's even a blastoplast, has the full human potential. The blueprint for that whole biological life is already in motion and is moving. And from a Jewish perspective, they have such a high, high value on human life that if you read in the Old Testament, there was an incident where a man was actually killed because he spilled his seed or his semen on the ground. They believe that the essence of life is contained in that, and they have such a high regard and respect for that that they felt that was a crime against humanity and the universe, so to speak, simply by not allowing the seed to germinate and carry a human life.
Richard, before we go any further, have you gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics from us?
No, I have not.
If you'll stay on the line after we finish the conversation and give Jeff your information, I'd like to have the Roxy's send you a bottle of that. It's good for anything that ails your skin. It's really great stuff. I thought I had not recognized your voice. You know, after 1,000 shows, I still sort of recognize voices out there. But let me go to Cynthia and Rachel. You know, he's tying what Richard is doing here is he's tying biblical things into this abortion debate today, which is where it should be, should it not?
Well, let me go real quick here. This is Rachel.
Yeah.
I'm very, very close friends with Janet Porter. And if anybody doesn't know who she is, please look Janet Porter up. She has Faith to Action with the number 2, Faith to Action.
Yeah.
And Janet is the one that introduced a bill that is being passed in different places called the Heartbeat Bill. And what this is, it's usually about 18 days. Once there is a heartbeat, because they couldn't really push through who is going to, is it at conception? Is that when the, you know, when is the formation of it becoming from tissue to a human?
Right.
She did the heartbeat bill, and it's a very interesting one, and it's actually gaining some momentum. And that's what I would suggest. And yes, of course, through the biblical perspective, each life within itself is of value.
And by the way, I believe the heartbeat starts at very early. It's like only a few weeks in when the
18 days.
18 days, yeah. So it's very early in the process.
Yeah, the heart's one of the very first organ set of separate tissues to develop other than the beginning of the central nervous system.
Cynthia, I want
to... Right, because the heart has its actual own brain.
Right, absolutely.
You know, a small brain attached to the heart. That's why you can have a heart transplant. You can take a heart out and replace it with something else. That's
right.
Microbe.
In fact, it hooks up with, I believe it's called the vagus nerve, bundle that comes out of the brain, central brain, which is one of the few nerves that come out and doesn't go through the spinal column. It actually comes to the base of the skull, travels down the thoracic cavity.
Wow.
What you're saying, and I hate to turn this, Chris, but I must. It's just in my DNA. This is how I cannot understand how anybody can think there's no God. I mean, to even think about what we're talking about,
from the
tissue to a heart with its own brain, from the vagus to the chromosome. I mean, to have ever built anything, and I mean a stick man, the complexity of the human body is beyond anything. I mean, we're electric beings. We're measured by electroencephalogram, electrocardiograms, telemetry.
Yeah,
we are so unbelievably put together, and I just have the utmost respect. Listen, don't get upset with me. I feel the same way about animals. I don't want even an animal hurt.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, we are just the highest expression of God's creation, but that this fantastic intelligence permeates reality. I want to go to Cynthia, though. Cynthia, Richard mentioned the biblical reference here. Isn't the whole purpose of the Judeo, one of the purposes of the Judeo-Christian heritage is to sort of instill in people respect for all life, as Rachel just referred to?
Absolutely, but I would like to interject something that I've never heard anyone speak about. And part of the lost tribes were sent for everlasting exile. The one thing they were doing was they were worshiping other gods. And these were the Canaanite gods. And let me, they would have different names, but was Molech. What did Molech do? It required from each person, or in those cultures, to sacrifice their firstborn, and this was a fertility rite. Now, obviously, we don't call it Molech today, but what do we do?
Well,
many, many, many people have given their firstborn in a type of ritual. Now, they didn't say it was fertility. Today, it's convenience.
That's a very good way to put it, because most women who have abortions are younger girls.
And many of their children. But if they're going to have an abortion, it's usually their firstborn.
Yeah. Richard, you were going to say something.
I was saying they sell it as a convenience.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Richard.
They sell it as a convenience to people, you know, that, you know, you don't have enough money or whatever, especially to the young people.
Right.
The other thing that needs to be brought out is the fact that the vast number of children that are destroyed through abortion are actually from the African American community here.
Oh yeah,
States.
Yeah, 50%.
Yes, and that's just ungodly to consider such a high number
right.
of people, and it really is a form, in my opinion,
of Holocaust. I like the way you use the word Holocaust. And when I say 50%, I don't mean 50% of all abortions. I mean 50% of black babies. Are
yes.
aborted. Hey, Richard, I want to thank you very much for calling and listening, and I hope you'll continue to listen and call the show. It's been fascinating talking to you. And like I say, stay on the line so we can get that information from you, and we'll definitely get you some Roxy Pacifics. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling us, Rabbi.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Also, we have Rob from Cincinnati. Let's go to Rob from Cincinnati next. Thank you for calling, Rob.
Oh, you bet. Good evening. It's obviously a fascinating topic, and wonderful to hear Rachel's voice, and likewise, hello to Cynthia.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for calling in. Seriously.
Well, it's a lot of things, and of course, your topic here went a certain way on the abortion subject, which is an extremely sensitive matter to me. It's murder. I mean, that's a strong word that will upset people, but you know, call it what it is.
Won't upset anybody around here. I'll tell you that.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, not at all. And so Richard mentioned something that, again, Rachel and Cynthia, too, I know you go back to the biblical information and foundation of all these words. You know, so much of us throw things around, but there is that book called the Old Testament, and it seems to be a pretty good foundation of information. I think we'd all agree on that, too. But Richard talked about, and I want to be a little careful here, like, you know, your seed ending up on the ground or wasting it. And it struck a nerve in me as yet a different angle or a different consideration that he prompted when I heard that. And that, you know, it is the wastefulness through abortion, through murder, through sacrificing your firstborn, whatever that, be it religious or be it pseudo political religious thought process, it gets down to the basic thing. It's wasteful, and you know we're not meant to be that way. And I don't want to sound too heavy-hearted here either, but
well, I think what you're pointing out is that it runs contrary to the human spirit, you know. And it's interesting that the party that would have us believe that they're for conservation and preserving life and all that is good in the world are the ones promoting this wastefulness, this wasteful behavior of human life.
Rob brought up a very interesting thought via Richard, via all of us now. It is that human beings today, by many other human beings, are very disposable. So what? That's how they feel. Kill, murder, butchers, barbaric, everything. It's all, everything goes. And when everything goes, eventually everything goes out the window. Because there is a line of people, and we've talked about this, and, you know, the people that know me know that I know there's two different types of people on this planet. But they have sure. absolutely no regard. Forget just babies. When they're born, they'll kill them after birth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a total disregard for human life that is being taught by this ideology called Islam. And to me, that's the fundamental problem with it that should turn people off.
I was going to tread lightly on the comment about Islam, but having been in the Middle East and been in virtually all those countries, some of them a little clandestine. I wasn't really supposed to be there. I used to I won't go into my story, but I had an opportunity to travel and had an opportunity to have a Austrian passport and pretend that I was doing things that other people wouldn't have approved of back then. But what I'm saying is that word wasteful or wastefulness, be it a life, a person, a baby, a child, be it a bottle of wine or whatever, it hits the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, Rob, you're absolutely right. It's a fascinating phone call. I'm up against another break. I got some more callers on the line, but the same goes for you. If you'll stay on the line and give Jeff your information, we'll send you some Roxy Pacifics and some other stuff as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob, for calling in. Thank
absolutely.
You. And everybody.
Yeah, and please keep listening and call back again, Rob. That's fascinating, and
we'll
appreciate
people listening in the near future up our way.
Well, I certainly appreciate that so very, very much. Folks, we'll be right back. How sweet it is. Aubrey Kahn's over here snapping his tights, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I got my elbow and knee pads on. I'm ready to go.
All right. That's, I need another dressing room.
That's Lucas Paris. That's Johnny Guns. And I want to get right back to our guests, who, by the way, you will be able to see them and hear them speak Tuesday at the Eastmont Civic Center. It's free. The doors open at 6:30. It's being sponsored by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Cindy Yule and the great folks over there really bring in the top-notch guests. Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Grace will both be there. Please get on over there. Eastmont Civic Center, just south of 436, just off of Ronald Reagan Boulevard by the ball fields. I want to get to John Butler Book, who has called in. He's on line five. Then Aubrey has a question for the ladies, and I have one more as well. Pastor Book, thank you for calling.
Hey, listen, good show. Very quickly, I was at the National Prayer Clinic in the state of Virginia. I come on television there. My program sometimes is considered to be political. And the preacher stood and said, we're here not to be political tonight. We're here to talk about prayer as Christian soldiers. And when it was my time to speak, I dealt with the two problems you're facing to a degree tonight. One, when does life begin? And secondly, of course, the church is being silenced by those who feel that the 11th commandment is, thou shalt not be political. Jeremiah, King James, first chapter, we find these words, verse 5. God speaking here, before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, to over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Paul said virtually the same thing in the Ephesians chapter when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if the spiritual wickedness in high places does not describe Washington, D.C., I do not know what does. Light begins with inception. Before he was formed in the belly of his mother's womb, God sanctified him and knew who Jeremiah was. And God said, I'm appointing you to pull down and to destroy over the nations and to plant and to rebuild. Now, tonight I have a special guest on my program. His name is Tex Marr. He's a radio commentator. He's a professor at colleges. He's written several books. But he wrote a book during the administration of Bill Clinton and said that Hillary was the power behind the throne. What we see unfolding today to remove our constitutional rights of freedom of religion, where people who refuse to participate in a homosexual wedding are being prosecuted and persecuted,
yeah,
is not by accident. He said Hillary Clinton had this planned out a long time ago as First Lady. And we see this today, that our First Amendment rights are being trashed,
yeah,
and people's right of religious freedom is now hanging in the balance. And, of course, we have ISIS in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm afraid that what we see, the persecution and the prosecution and the wholesale murder taking place in the Middle East,
yeah,
is going to happen here if the so-called soldiers of the cross don't wake up, think up, and speak up.
Yeah.
And so Tex Marr, okay, who wrote the book, Big Sisters Watching You, a prophetic book nearly 25 years ago, will be discussing what Hillary Clinton is doing today.
All right. John, we'll make sure everybody tunes in for that. Thanks for calling in. I want to get the ladies to comment, though, on your, what he called, spiritual wickedness in high places. Is that what we are seeing play out here, Rachel? And then I'll get,
yeah,
Cynthia's. Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I know all of Tex Marr's work, although we're diametrically opposed in many avenues. There's some things that I do agree with him on, but I will tell you, it is spiritual, but it is also biological. And I am telling people this because, no, and Chris, you know that I've said this so many times, we cannot get along with people that are barbarian. And you know what's going on in ISIS. You know that it started, whether it's a fairy tale or not, in the Book of Genesis, it's playing out every day on the news. Brother against brother, they're sending out their own herds,
and we've talked about this, what we cannot get along with everybody. And I have to just throw in one more point, because the pastor brought in homosexuality. You see somebody like Bruce Jenner. He wants to be a woman. This is, instead of giving him more hormones of testosterone to make him be what he should was born to be, they're going to fill him up with female hormones.
I know.
What you're doing, you cannot buy anything that's soy. Everything is soy. Soy candy bar, soy bodybuilding bar, soy milk, soy this, soy that. It's all estrogen. And they're wondering, like, why little boys are growing up more effeminate.
I know.
They're putting it in the foods, and they're not telling anybody. They're trying to make the stronger weaker on purpose.
Yeah, I see. As a matter of fact, sometimes I see, especially they come on during the daytime TV, which I rarely watch. But sometimes when I do, I'll see these commercials, and it's about this drug that we give to kids for ADHD or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
And if your son has grown breasts, please call us, and we're going to have a lawsuit. And I'm going, my God Almighty, it's what you're talking about. We're giving our kids things that are making them
Not what they're naturally supposed to.
Right.
Their hormones are totally imbalanced. They're hitting puberty at an age where they should absolutely be on a swing set.
Yeah.
This is something that is intentional, whether Tex Moore or anybody else has said this has been coming down the pike. They have been waiting for such a time as this, and the time has arrived.
Okay. All right. I want to get Cynthia's take on spiritual wickedness in high places. Then Aubrey has a question, and I have a quick question for you. Cynthia, please. We only have 3 minutes left.
Well, real quickly, we're taught in our churches that everything is all spiritual. But I was confused about things, because it just didn't make sense until I heard what Rachel had to say about the seed lines and the separate seed lines, the two different seed lines. Once I started understanding that, it began to fall into place. So, yes, we do fight spiritual warfares within ourselves and with each other. But also, there is a dichotomy here that is missing in our churches, and the understanding that it is a DNA line. And that's what separates us. That's why we can't understand them, they can't understand us. We cannot coexist with them unless we give up who we are and give up our DNA. And no time in history, we're actually now have the science to change DNA.
No
other time in history was that possible. By the way,
they're collecting DNA from every newborn that's in the hospital.
And any lab test that you're taking, it's going to a data bank. But real quick, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was always the same knowledge, but how it was used, either used for good or for evil.
Aubrey, you wanted to bring up points.
Yeah, there's this woman who heads up a department in the United Nations who is claiming that the world is overpopulated and it's time to start depopulating the earth. My question would be, why don't they lead by example? There are millions and millions of people that say the world is overpopulated. Well, why don't they lead by example? Why is it that they're the ones that want to point out who needs to be eradicated?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Well,
that starts with the word un anyway.
Right. And of course, they are the elitist who feel like they're the only ones that should live and should rule and contain the rest of us. And all through history, there was one thing that this group of people wanted to do, the Esau descendants, and that was either destroy the other bloodline or breed them out. And they've done a fine job of both.
All right. Well, once again, ladies, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. It's been a fascinating discussion, and we'll look forward to seeing you Tuesday at the Eastmont Civic Center. And
we may even come in studio.
We would love that. I'd love to have you in the studio on Tuesday. And then, of course, the Civic Center is just a couple of miles from here, so you'll be real close, and you'll be able to make it there when the doors open. So y'all travel safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, one way or the other.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, folks, we've been talking with Rachel Cohen, and she's a Bible scholar, and her historian, Cynthia Grace, and they will be speaking Tuesday at the Eastmont Civic Center on Ronald Reagan, just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436. Doors open at 6:30. The presentation starts at 7. It's free, put on by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Be there or be square and be uninformed. We'll be right back.
That was a good match.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. A division of Salem Community.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the following match is scheduled for one fall. This triple threat match includes the excellence of Elocution, Christopher Hart, Amazing Aubrey Khan, and Johnny Dangerously Guns.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's our man Lucas Paris. And you can be a part of the show, too, at 407-774-8255. And you know what? It was such fascinating conversation with the ladies that we didn't do our Who Said That contest yet. So before we get to Sonny, let's go ahead and start our Who Said That contest, and then we'll get right to Sonny, who's on the line right now. So you know how to play this, folks, or in case you don't, and seems like we might have another new listener or two out there. Here's how we play our Who Said That contest. We read a quote. You simply call us up and tell us who said it. And if you get it right, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, where we will be tomorrow with a live remote broadcast celebrating our now going over 1,000 shows. Now it's up to about 1,000. Tomorrow will be 1,033. I believe. Anyway, we're having a lot of fun, and hope to continue and do another 100 or 1,000. I was going to say 100,000, but another 10,000 would be all right. Anyway, 407-774-8080 is the number at Cafe Positano. You'll win a $20 gift card there. You'll also win a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. These are really great t-shirts. They're made in America with American patriotic slogans on them. Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads, MyLibertyThreads.com, makes those available to us and our winners. Okay, so let's get to today's quote. If you know who said this, call us at 407-774-8255, and the first person to take a guess, if nobody gets it right, will be declared the winner. Who said, "Life is like a cobweb, not an organizational chart." Life is like a cobweb, not an organizational chart. If you know who said that, give us a call at 407-774-8255. You know, Aubrey, I've often heard, or sometimes have heard, pastors describe God's work as a tapestry, where on one side, for instance, it's real beautiful, but if you flip it over and look at it from the other side, you got threads running all different directions, and it looks very chaotic.
I just don't believe that.
What do you believe?
God's a God of order.
Yeah.
Well, everything that God creates is good. Everything that God creates is wholesome. And everything that God creates is good looking. Look at me. I'm so good looking. I should be two people.
Yeah, I think that was the whole point of it, is that it's beautiful.
Well played.
It's beautiful depending on simply how you look at it. if you look at it one way, it's beautiful. But if you look at it another way, it's all up to you and how you look at the world. Who said life is like a cobweb, not an organizational chart? 407-774-8255. We want someone who hasn't won recently. So please give us a call. In the meantime, let's go now to Sunny, our California glow girl, freshly back from Las Vegas and the Cauliflower Alley Club Convention. How you doing, Sunny?
I'm doing great, guys. Sunny is really feeling the heat today.
You're back home. I'll tell you, you're
drive
back.
And all the excitement and, oh, my gosh. But I'm back home in sunny Arizona, and it's a scorcher today.
Yeah. Is that right out there? Yeah, it was kind of warm and humid here, too. We got some rain moving through. Oh, well, really? how was the club? How was the Cauliflower Alley Club?
Well, the CAC was amazing. The baloney blowout was even
fun. What's a baloney blowout? Tell us about that.
That's where they do all their, you know, preempt to the award ceremonies.
Okay.
And we know who's going to get inducted and all the speeches and all the jokes and... And it's fun, and you get sandwiches with bologna and ham and, like, pick your cheeses. And you sit at the banquet table in the same room where we have the banquet at. You know, it's interesting. There were so many people. It was sold out, and this was the most they've ever had. So it was very much, you know, a great honor to be part of it. It was 789 people attended. So Brian Blair did a fantastic job. My hat's off to Brian.
Now, real quickly, for some of you out there who may not know, the Cauliflower Alley Club is a society of professional wrestlers, male and female. And they have a convention or a meeting once a year, isn't that right?
Yes, it is once a year, and it's usually in April, and it lasts for 3 to 4 days. The first day is wrestling, and by the way, the wrestling matches were off the hook. We're just
gotcha.
Brilliant. And, of course, Sam Houston was in the match with Sin Bodhi. Wow.
Oh, boy.
I'm so proud of him.
That was great.
But, yes, it we had a few, I think last year it was in June, and that wasn't so good because people can't make it out in June for some reason. Plus, it's hotter in Las Vegas. So they switched it back to April, thank God. Next year, guys, as I text you, Chris, I'm telling everybody to go on the Cauliflower Alley Club site and petition for who you want to be the next honored pro wrestler or group like ourselves, entertainment production company, which hopefully we will next year, and that's what we're trying to do. Because since 1986, we haven't gotten our time to shine. Sunny has definitely not.
Glow deserves to be there.
Yeah, she's talking about the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was very popular wrestling syndicate for a number of years in the 80s. And
yes.
who was...
All the way till 1990. Well, if you really want to be politically correct, until 1994. And the girls did a lot of sitcoms, Married with Children. They did the Donahue, Sally, Jesse, Raphael. We did a lot of those. I myself did not, because I left the show at the end because my father passed away. And I was there at his bedside, and they took me out of the ring because I almost injured my opponent. I wasn't all there, and Matt pulled me out. And, you know, just like the documentary, Sunny always seems to manage to miss the last, you know, glimmer of hope. But this time, I am not. And Brian Blair is giving me that chance because I wrote to him yesterday, and he wrote me back. And he said, Sunny, okay, we're going to make this happen. But what you need to do, he was shocked that we weren't already. And I said, no, we haven't been honored. And he's like, wow, okay. So, you know, we're going to go on the site, we're going to petition, and it's going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll link up with that on our site and our Facebook page to help make that happen. Real quickly, and then I want to move on. Was this open to the public?
Yes. My gosh. I met the greatest fans now who are friends, by the way. A couple that waited 6 years to meet me. It was so amazing. But it is open to the public, and I do want to give a shout-out to a few that are listening. You've got new listeners, guys.
Okay.
And we're going to have great new guest too, by the way.
I was going to ask you,
as I call them.
Yeah, I hear you.
Really good work. Yeah, you'll like the names, and we're real excited. Sunny got their emails, and we're doing it. But a shout out to Jason Platt. Let's see, Ron Dilden. Gosh, the list goes on. Joe Bashore, of course, our good friend, who actually came up there as well and supported the CACs. many others, you know. And the maestro, the Stro, hopefully he's listening to the radio show.
Yep.
And we're going to have him on as a guest. What a delightful man he is. He's got a show, a movie coming out today, which I've got it recorded, Secrets and Lies. So it's on ABC. Some of the wrestlers are crossing over. You know, a lot's going on. Man, we've got some wrestlers from the UFC that want to be now full-blown wrestlers. Imagine that.
Imagine that. All right. Sounds like it was a lot of fun out there.
And I met a lot of people, a lot of my peers. It was such, the DDP, of course, great speech from him, Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
Who was inducted, many others. I mean, you know, Jake the Snake is always a pleasure. And then my favorite, Sam Houston, you know.
How's Jake getting along? I understand he was having some pretty serious health issues.
Battling cancer, to my understanding.
Yeah. Yes, and he's okay. He looked good. He was in good spirits. There was a few times I looked over and was worried about him. But, you know, he got up there and he gave a great introduction to the DDP speech and his induction, and it was amazing. Amazing. Everyone was. The Hinnin, Larry Hinnin, am I saying that right? Hinnin. He was brilliant. His wife was just adorable. Sergeant Slaughter was there.
Sergeant Slaughter? Yeah.
Remote.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great worker.
Yeah.
They were all there. And, of course, The Rock's mom was there. She's been an attendee now the last couple years. And she's just a doll. You know, no Rock, which was sad, or no Hulk Hogan.
No.
I thought we're going to have a big super name that's going to go in there. But, not this year. But a great turnout and a long ceremony, by the way. We were all tired at the end of the banquet. Usually the banquet lasts 4 hours. This was 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, we went in at 6 and didn't leave. We actually escaped, I say, about 12:30, but it went on until about 1.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, you know, everyone was really tired, so there wasn't a lot of picture taking. Well, I know a lot of us glow girls had left.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people wanted to get pictures with us. But again, it just happened. We had someone that ran over in the speech, and out of respect because he has MS, they didn't want to interrupt him. And we clapped probably 3 times, and he still didn't, you know, take the cue. It was time to stop until finally it was it. It was like, okay. So it went way over. And Beth Phoenix, I did not get to see her with her presentation, you know, an inductee.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And when Edge got up there, I left. That was it.
Wow, so, Edge, he was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, Edge is nice. Edge is cool. He's great, you know.
Yeah.
Lisa Verone.
Wow.
Good. Amazing.
Sounds like it was a whole lot of fun. Sounds a whole lot of fun.
There were some good ones, you know, and I can't even remember some. There's so many.
Yeah.
But,
let me change the subject real briefly while we still have a few minutes here.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan of Hillary's. We talked about it briefly last week on the show.
Yeah.
Tuesday or Wednesday, I saw a report in the newspaper or somewhere anyway that some anti-Hillary signs and posters were popping up in, of all places, New York and Las Vegas. Did you see any of them?
No, I actually did not. I'd probably rip them apart. Oh, no. Not with this wrestler in town. No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. That's my Hillary. Go Hillary.
I agree. Go Hillary.
On that one,
far, far away.
We wish she would just go away.
Hey, you know, it's looking pretty good, though. I don't know who she's got running, and, you know, you consider the sources and around her. Who's going to give her a run?
Well, see, that's one thing that concerns me, is the people she has around her.
Yeah.
For instance, on her tour that she just took this week, she has with her one of her top aides, who's been her top aide for a number of years right now, a woman by the name of Huma Abedin. And Huma is Anthony Weiner's wife. You know who Anthony Weiner is, right? You remember
yes.
him?
Yes.
Okay.
She's
his wife. Now, that's not the troubling part, although it might make you raise your eyebrows. The troubling part is that she's a Muslim, from what I understand, and that her parents, or at least her father, is one of the upper echelon, if you will, of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I just wonder what sort of relationship she has with this woman when she is, for instance, supposed to be all about women's rights and you know, making women, you know, more equal in the world, why she's palling around with someone like Huma Abedin. So you mentioned the people who are around her. That's one of the things that concerns me. Did you know anything about Huma Abedin?
Yeah, I know. What you just said, I've known of, but maybe that's her angle in, and she's got some sort of plan, strategic plan.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
I think so. She's a smart scorpion woman like myself.
Yeah, you're talking about Hillary. Yeah.
You might have a grander idea on that. I can't imagine it's going to be for the worse of the Muslim. You know, of course, you know, you cannot shun just because they're Muslim.
No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, one of the things that she, and I love her use of the word champion, because once again, it sort of reminds me of and helps me make the point that politics is like professional wrestling. She wants to be your champion or our champion. And she understands that in wrestling, you know, when you have a champion, when you have a favorite, you kind of don't care what they do or what anybody else says about them.
If you're thinking an underdog, you've got to really.
Right. So, you know, I'm just a little concerned, you know, when she surrounds herself with people who seem to be contrary of the causes that she is championing.
Yeah.
But we shall see where it goes.
That'll be interesting. But you know what? On that last question, you know, I probably would have got that because I happen to love Ross Perot.
Oh, no!
I had to get that one, you know. It's too bad I'm
And see, I thought I was going to be both a clown on that quote.
I'd love to visit you guys, though, for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to it, Sonny. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
it was a pleasure. You're my favorite group of sexy American adversary.
All right. You're our favorite gal as well. So you take care of yourself this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Have a sunny week.
Okay. We'll do that. Well, you just got a hint. If you were paying attention, give us a call. We'll be right back after this short break.
Gee, Stinger splashed our answer.
We'll have to figure out what to do during this. Anyway, you're listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget to catch Rachel and Cynthia tomorrow at the Eastmont Civic Center. We'll be right back. I can't get no relief. Town fairly soon. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Darn good worker.
Absolutely. 407-774-8255 is the number. A really great fella and very, very smart, too. 407-774-8255. I believe he was at WrestleMania, too, wasn't he, Jeff? Wasn't Hacksaw at WrestleMania?
I don't remember.
I think he was. Pretty sure I remember hearing something about that. I didn't see it, but I believe.
Hacksaw's everywhere.
He is. I tell you what. And, he, of course, he's a great American, great patriot. Aubrey Kahn, another great American, great patriot in the studio with us right now. Johnny Guns, Lucas Paris has us up on the head cam. You can see us on our link. We're linked up on our Facebook page, American Adversaries on Facebook, or go to ustream.tv, and you'll see us there. Just dial in the American Adversaries channel. John Butler Book, another great American, is lining up for his show. He's in the outside control room on the bridge, so to speak, with Jeff Sinis. And we have a caller on the line, but we still don't have an official winner of our Who Said That contest. Life is like a cobweb, not an organizational chart. If you want to go ahead and call in and tell us who said it, give us a call at 407-774-8255.
Spider-Man.
That's what John Butler Book said. He said it was Spider-Man. Oh, no, it wasn't. Who's?
I'm sure he paraphrased it, though. It's in one of the comic books.
Who's Peter Parker? No, it wasn't Spider-Man. All right, but the name has been mentioned on the show now several times tonight. So if you've been listening to the show, in particular, our last guest, you might just know who it is.
Like I said, she stinger splashed our answer right out there. I mean, gosh.
You're doing it again.
Well, I got to look up the answer now.
Yeah, first of all, let's go to Diane from Apopka. Diane, thank you so very much for calling tonight. We really miss you and love you.
Oh, we love you. It's a great show. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
And cobwebs are not. They are so integral.
Yeah.
So, whoever said it was a dope.
There's another hint. We appreciate it, Diane. Anyway.
And I just want to thank Pasquale because he makes the most amazing pizza in the world. And when we're coming from out of town and we have his phone right in our controls, and we call them ahead, and we go by there and pick it up. It's awesome. And Roxy Pacifics is amazing.
All right.
My granddaughter walks in the house and says, "Grammy, I need Roxy."
I love it. I love it. We're going to have to send that to the Roxys. They would love to hear that, too.
It's a fact.
It's great stuff.
She is seriously allergic to the world, and this stuff is amazing.
And it's all natural. It's a kelp-based solution, folks. It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. And I constantly get testimonials that Luann and Ed get from users of this stuff, and they're just so, and they've a lot of different uses. But now one guy did a testimony, sent him a testimony I thought was a great idea. For you folks out there who've never tried it before, or, you know, maybe a little skeptical, here's what happened. The guy scratched himself, and he had like several scratches on his arms. So he sprayed like one scratch with the stuff, left the other scratch alone. In a couple of days, the one scratch that he was spraying was gone while the other one was still healing. That's what this stuff does, is it helps your skin grow healthily quickly. That's why I call it fertilizer for your skin. It's like throwing fertilizer on a lawn that's, you know, just, you know, dying of hunger. It'll just, you know, rejuvenate it sort of quickly. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying that, Diane.
No, and she's got a yeast infection in her throat, and it's like it's amazing. She doesn't have that little cough anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, anytime I get a little scratchiness in my throat, you know, and of course, talking is a big part of my life now. It always was, only I never, you know, had anybody listening other than me. But anytime I feel a little scratches, I spray that stuff in there, and it really makes my throat feel better right away. And I must say that we've got great sponsors on the show. That's one thing I take pride in, is the quality of our sponsors, like Aubrey Kahn, like Pasquale.
I love Aubrey Kahn, and I love it every time Aubrey Kahn is on your show.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you so very much for your contribution. And Liberty Threads, my daughter went to a fair a couple months ago and bought me 2 t-shirts from Liberty.
That's great. Yeah, Scott goes to these things all over the country. As a matter of fact, he's looking for people, you know, to work for him or work with him who would be willing to travel and go to these things around the country. But I hope that he's going to be there with us at the remote tomorrow. He's trying hard to be there with us. And I hope you'll be there, Diane.
I got my reservations in.
Oh, bless your heart. I love you even that much more. And Danny's going to be there. Mike's going to be there. We're just going to have a whole lot of fun. And
always do. We love you so much, you guys. You're amazing. And please give Laura our love.
I have, and he appreciates it. And I was at the memorial today, and it was very touching. Lair started it off and said some really kind words, and you could tell it was very difficult for Lair.
Yeah.
I saw Lair in something I'd not experienced seeing him before in this situation.
Yeah.
And he really was. Let me just tell you something. You know, not only did he go over there and help take care of her, not only physically but financially. He sprayed her with the Roxy after her chemotherapy and the radiation and all that stuff. You know, obviously it wasn't to cure her, but it did bring her great relief. I found out today that last Sunday, as she was passing away, he climbed into bed and cuddled and yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
We
so,
love him.
Yeah. So yeah. I will pass it along, and he appreciates it, but he'll be there tomorrow, so you'll see him and just give him a hug. He'll understand.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diane. We appreciate you
very much. You guys are amazing. And Marilee. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
My God. And
yeah.
Marilee is amazing.
Well, I hope you guys can go on that cruise with us. That'd be a whole lot of fun.
We're working on it.
Okay.
We're stepping up on it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow, Diane. God bless
you. Thank you. Thank you.
You and Jim both, and your daughter.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, I want to go now to Marie while we have a minute or two left in this segment. Marie, thank you for calling tonight. Did you have a guess for our Who Said That contest?
No, I didn't. I don't have a clue.
Well, didn't you, weren't you listening to us talk earlier in the show?
Well, a little bit, but I was listening more to the conversation about...
Well, let me help you along here. This person, his last name rhymes with show. He ran for president. He had big ears. He was from Texas, and he talked with kind of a, you know, a weird-sounding voice.
Oh, it was Dumbo.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Is Dumbo?
That's my guess.
Wait, did you cut her off? Let her finish. You need to let her finish.
Yeah, I need to let her finish.
Let her finish her talking.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, he ran against George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Do you know who he is now?
No.
Apparently, neither does the rest of the country.
The invitation's not that good.
No. Well, Marie, stay on the line and give Jeff your information anyway. If nobody gets it, we'll send you the prizes. And even if somebody else does.
I had another comment.
Well, I'm going to let you make it. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I called with a few facts about the abortion thing. It says non-Hispanic white women have abortions. This is from
Hold on a second. Jeff. Oh, I'm sorry. We're up against a hard break. I can't delay this break. Marie, if you'll stay with us, we'll take your phone call as soon as we come back after the news break, okay?
I will.
Okay. All right. Marie's going to stay with us, and we still don't have an answer for our Who Said That contest. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're back, and we're talking with Marie on the line. Marie, I'm going to give you one more chance. Do you want to take a stab at who said that contest was? Have you thought about it?
No, I really haven't.
Okay.
I'm just not in the...
That's all right.
I just got seriousness on my mind.
All right, well, let's get down to that. You wanted to talk... we were talking about abortion, you said.
Right, and I got some statistics off of the Internet, and it says non-Hispanic white women have 36% of the abortions. Non-Hispanic black women have 30%, and Hispanic women have 25%, and women of other races have 9%. And I just, you know, I just think whatever we're judging, if we're judging somebody by the color of their skin and how many abortions they have, it makes no sense to me, because I just think abortion is wrong. I don't care what color you are.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I just think that God is judging the sin.
Yeah.
I don't think he's judging the color of the skin.
No, ma'am. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And if your reference that I used a couple of statistics earlier, one is, I'm not talking about the percentages of abortions. I'm talking about the percentage of children who are aborted in, say, for instance, the black race. It is 50%. And it is lower than that in the other races, but going up. And you're right. You're absolutely right. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
No, not one little bit. You're absolutely.
Yeah, if it was 1,000 black women and one white woman, or the other way around, it would make no difference to me in my mind.
You're absolutely right. We totally agree. We are in total agreement on that point.
One child is one too many.
You're absolutely right.
I think it's a sin, and I think that, you know, and there's no such thing as a legal abortion.
I like the way you phrase that. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that our caller, I believe it was... If it was not Richard, it was one of the other callers earlier who characterized it as a modern day Holocaust.
Yes.
I really believe it is exactly that.
And I can agree with you on that. I'm going to agree with you when you're right, because I believe that. I can take that on and not have, any opposition to it whatsoever.
All right.
But I just think abortion is a terrible thing. It's wrong. And it's not illegal. It's not legal.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
I believe.
No matter what law says, it's legal.
I believe in God's eyes. You're absolutely right, Marie. And I want to thank you so much for listening, and I want to thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
All right. Have a good night.
And don't hesitate to call back when the Spirit moves you. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right. We're going to go now to Rose from Orlando. Rose has a guess for our Who Said That contest. We're looking for the person who said life is like a cobweb, not an organizational chart. Rose, thank you for calling. Do you know who said that?
I believe that was Ross Perot.
It was H. Ross Perot. That's right.
Hillbilly billionaire.
That's him. That's
our man. Now, don't you go calling him a hillbilly now. You hear me?
he's a Texan. Yuppie.
He's a Texan. He's from Texas, I think. Anyway, I was somewhere around there.
That was a fun pinfall, apparently. We had multiple people on. Nobody got that one till now.
Well, Rose, you got it right. Stay on the line. Give Jeff your information. We appreciate you getting it, and thanks for calling. And I hope we can see you tomorrow night at Cafe Positano. If not,
maybe.
All right. Well, certainly would love to meet you. Come on up, and if you're there, I'll give you your $20 gift card right there.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks, Rose. We appreciate you calling. Okay. Sure. All right, it is now time for some WTF news with our WTF news hound, Johnny. What'd you call him, Johnny?
Johnny Dangerously Guns.
Take it away, Dangerously.
All right, let's start off in Kentucky, where a man was arrested this week after police say he rode a horse while under the influence of alcohol. The 40-year-old told police on Tuesday that he didn't blank. And that he didn't do blank, and he was just riding his horse, as police responded to reports of an intoxicated horse rider on Route 23. The arrest report said that he was ordered to stop, but instead he ran down an embankment fleeing on foot, wearing only a brown hat, jeans, and boots. During the search for the suspect, police say they found his clothing on the back porch of his own house. He is currently on probation for burglary, and he faces charges of driving under the influence.
Really?
As well as fleeing or evading police. So I had to ask my official Kentucky friend of WTF News about this story.
Yeah.
And they're like, drunk horse riding, that's illegal?
I was going to say, Aubrey lives down there in St. Cloud. You probably come across that fairly frequently, don't you?
Regular Tuesday night down in St. Cloud. Huh?
I'm pleading the fifth.
It falls under inebriated equestrian.
All right, let's go a little closer to home. Good old Melbourne, Florida. Did you know God made an appearance in Melbourne, Florida?
He appears everywhere.
Yeah, allegedly. He was high on something.
Oh.
Because he's accused of attacking a police officer and reportedly declaring himself to be God after he had relations with a tree. Yes, a 41-year-old man was arrested after witnesses reported him running naked through their neighborhood. The responding officer said that he walked toward him in aggressive manner and identified himself as God. The officer responded to the perceived threat by using a taser on the man twice. In both cases, the suspect continued to fight while pulling the probes out of his body. The man allegedly punched the cop and tried to stab him with the officer's own badge. When the officer punched him, the suspect referred to himself as Thor. So he just went to become another god.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah, it's believed.
He didn't say god of what or who or right. where or how, right?
It hurt. It was Thor.
It's believed that the man was high on flaca, which is a synthetic stimulant similar to bath salts. Users sometimes believe they have superhuman strength.
Idiot. God of blunder.
I like that. God of all right. Finally, we're going to go across the pond. Actually, we're going to go to Beijing, where a cavalcade of canines dressed in their formal finest and gathered in Beijing for an event billed as the city's first ever collective pet wedding. The event, presided over the Secretary General of the Committee of Wedding Service Industries, featured 21 dog couples, mainly clad in canine dresses and tuxedos, trotting down the aisle to receive their marriage license. Several of the happy couples and their owners arrived at the ceremony in lavish vehicles, including a BMW, convertible, and a stretch Hummer limousine. And the way that all of the weddings ended was with the officiant saying, "You may now sniff the butts." Which is how I imagine my wedding ceremony ending. There you go.
Now tell me, were there any gay weddings at that pooch wedding thing?
I was going to say, we knew this would happen when they said that.
When gay dogs said,
you know, we knew this would happen.
Right.
All right. Aubrey's,
yeah, there's one that Johnny
got
missed.
Some breaking news here.
Yeah, there's one that Johnny missed. Al Sharpton was seated next to Bill Clinton on a flight from Texas, and after the plane took off, Bill asked for a whiskey and soda,
mm-hmm.
which was brought and placed before him by the flight attendant. The flight attendant then asked L. Sharpton if he would like a drink, and appalled, L. replied, "I'd rather be tied up and taken advantage of by women of ill repute than allow liquor to ever pass my lips." Bill Clinton then handed his drink back to the flight attendant and said, "Me too, ma'am. I didn't know we had any choices."
Okay. All right. I hear you. All right. I got a little one here, too.
All right.
All right. You've heard of what is it, 19 and counting?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of the grandmom mom?
The grandmom mom?
The German mother of 65. A 65-year-old German mother of 13 is getting ready to give birth again, this time to quadruplets.
What?
Annegret Raunig, I guess you pronounce it, a Berlin school teacher who is due soon to retire, is expected to give birth to the four babies within the next 2 months, Bild newspaper and RTL television reported. She already has children ranging in ages from 9 to 44 from five fathers. Said donated eggs were fertilized and implanted at a clinic, achieving success after multiple attempts. Multiple attempts at what? It doesn't say here. But.
Wow.
I don't even want to guess on multiple attempts.
And Johnny took in some yoga today.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to stand in line?
No, I did not.
Was it frozen yoga?
I wish it was frozen. With sprinkles on top?
I know why he went to yoga class. Have you seen
the babes?
That's what I'm saying. Have you ever seen some of the moves they do, right?
I wish we had time that I could tell this story.
I wish we did, too. But did you know that in some places, like Rochester Hills, Michigan, and some places in New York, that people go to yoga to relax and sort of unwind,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they have to get there so early to get a spot that they get so uptight that they can't relax and unwind when they get there because the competition for the class is so steep.
I can tell my story real quick if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. So give us one more minute, please.
So I can do it in the time. So I was in yoga class. And this was kind of like an intermediate class. I was hoping to get the beginner, couldn't make it to that one.
Okay.
So my friend and I, we set up in the intermediate class, and it's yoga for stress reduction.
Right.
And they're talking about, okay, do this pose, do the baby pose, do the downward dog pose, the upward dog pose. I'm like a monkey doing a math problem trying to figure out what is this. I am like looking at the lady next to me, looking at this lady, and looking at the lady in front of me to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh.
And then, like 20 seconds after she gave the instruction, I finally was able to do something somewhat close to what everybody else was.
I've never heard a more elaborate and better excuse for a reason to ogle women in my life.
There was no ogling women.
I tell you.
There was no ogling women.
Next time on one video.
And ironically, that ties into our closing comment.
Right,
there were no ogling women.
Which Johnny Guns has composed himself and is going to reveal to all of us at the same time when we come back. Once again, Lair was saying goodbye to his lifelong sweetheart today. He'll be back with us tomorrow, and I'm sure his Belinda will still be with him in his heart. Okay, and don't forget John Butler book coming up as soon as we get out of here. He comes on at 9:50 WTLN. He's got a great show lined up for you tonight. Please catch it along with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries, folks. This is Lucas Paris. Earlier caller in the evening, Richard, wrote to us, "Let them know that I did not mention the abortion stats of African Americans to disparage African Americans. I was trying to point out that it was a mode of genocide used against them, a form of eugenics."
Yeah.
He was concerned that maybe somebody might have misunderstood what he was meaning.
No, I think Marie and all of us, Richard, were all in agreement. It's a form of genocide. It's a Holocaust. It's got to stop. It's a sin against God and his creation, and we're paying for it every day. We got to stop it. Johnny Guns, close us out, please.
All right. First, let me say I am humbled to be able to do this in Lair's place, and I hope I do right by him with these closing comments. Tonight's closing comments deal with the art of attraction. This week, a reporter from ESPN created headlines based on an interaction with a worker at a towing company. Britt McHenry is a physically appealing young woman, and it's easy to see why she is on TV. However, she showed her true colors this week when her car was towed. She went to pay for that fine and get her car back. She degraded the worker behind the counter. Knowing that she was being recorded and even looking into the camera, she made rude comments about the employee's education, job, teeth, weight, and alluded that she is better because, quote, "I'm on television and you're in a bleeping trailer, honey." When I saw this, I was conflicted. I was conflicted about what we consider attractive and what is truly beautiful. Being a fan of ESPN, I'm familiar with Britt McHenry's work, and her blue eyes and her long blonde hair make her pretty aesthetically pleasing, appealing. But in the span of 1 minute and one conversation, she went from a 9 to a negative 2. Ms. Henry's comments show that character, that her character, at least based on this conversation, is rotten to the core. And it shows me that true beauty is much deeper than what we see. Proverbs says that it's better to live on a corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome woman. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Do not consider appearance for height or his height, for I have rejected them. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So what does attraction look like? What should we be attracted to? 34, 28, 34, size 4, six-pack abs, big arms, and buns of steel are nice. But if you stop at the outward appearance, you'll go to bed with a dream and wake up with a nightmare. I've been blessed to see what true beauty looks like by friends and family. You want to be attracted to a person who you are proud to describe as your best friend. What is beautiful is a man who works all day and then spends his free time at the hospital with his wife, loving and serving her until the Lord calls her home. What is attractive is a woman who steps up and drives her husband all night long and across 4 state lines so he can grieve the loss of a loved one. Should be attracted to someone who forgives, compliments, and when you're mired in an emotional valley, doesn't try to pull you out, but will jump in the pit with you and throw their arm around you. True beauty is revealed when they are pressed, and out of their character comes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. My prayer is that you have found someone that you should be truly attracted to. Let them know. Give them a hug and give them a kiss. They need to know. If you're single like me, I pray that you would find or become truly beautiful in God's eyes and in the eyes of another. A new recent prayer of mine is that God would help me have soft eyes, a caring, serving heart, gentle and strong hands, to be good to the core, and loving and chasing after God with all that I have. I hope we all live lives that are truly attractive to ourselves, to God, and to others. Have a great week, you truly beautiful people.
By golly, I think Larry would be real proud of that. That was excellent, Johnny Guns. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. I appreciate all you guys being here tonight. It's been a great show. Aubrey, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for being a sponsor of the show. And Johnny, great job. Lucas, great job. Appreciate
it. Always fun being here.
We're going to go out here in just a couple of minutes with a song called Dreams by Lloyd Marcus on his album, his CD, God, Country, and Love. And, of course, you can go to LloydMarcus.com, LLOYDMARCUS.com to get that CD. Makes a great gift, folks. I mean, it's just great music. That's why I love playing it. And John Butler Book will be in here, and he'll take you live from 8 till 9 on 950 WTLN. And, of course, you got Armed American Radio live from 8 to 11 on AM 660 The Answer. And please do come out if you have the opportunity tomorrow to Cafe Positano. Look, even if it rains, we'll still be inside. We'll be having fun inside instead of outside. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So please come on out and help us. And it'll be, as I said, a lot of fun. And just make sure you find us. We'll have coupons for everybody. And we're going to have prizes and raffles. And just going to be a whole lot of fun. Hope you can come out and join us. Okay. John is asking what time is that. John is asking what time is that. I'm reading from the board here.
Positano.
Kicks off at 5, live at 5. We're going to be live. Live at 5.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Live at 5. And come on out, join us. We'll be doing a broadcast, and then we're going to have a whole lot of fun. The Shriner's going to be there. Classic Cars, Just Toys Classic Cars is going to be there. And it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. We hope you folks come out and introduce yourselves to us. And if you haven't met us before, we'd love to meet you. And once again, we want to thank all our great sponsors and all you great folks, and we appreciate it. And yeah, just one more word about Belinda. I found out also tonight that she used to love, she didn't have an AM radio inside the house, so she would go out and sit in her van in the evenings and listen to us do the radio show. God bless her, and God bless all you folks for the links that you go to listen to us on a regular basis. We really do appreciate that. Going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. Got a big week lined up for you, a lot of great guests. And don't forget, Tuesday night, Eastmont Civic Center. Get on over there and meet and hear Rachel Cohen and Cynthia Gray speak. They're very knowledgeable women. It's going to be a great evening over there. It is free. It's sponsored by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. It starts at 6:30. That's when the doors open at the Eastmont Civic Center, which is just off Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of State Road 436, just south of where Pastor Book gives his services every Sunday morning. And as I said, he's coming up here in just a few minutes, so make sure you stick around. He's got a great guest lined up for you, and of course, you'll be able to call in to his show, too. He always has great guests and callers, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy listening to him as I'm driving home, and I'll sit in my driveway when I get home and listen to the last 15 or 20 minutes of his show. It takes me about 40 minutes to get home, so I'll be listening along with you with John Butler Book. Aubrey, once again, thanks for being here tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and not only does Diane love you, but we all love you, too. You
just... How can
you,
sweet.
How can you not love that accent?
I tell you what. Thank you, Lucas.
Always.